we do need to look at Ephesians, and I do have a lot to cover. I mean, it's a couple verses, but more than I'm going to be able to fit in, I can tell you that. Verse 18 is where we left off, Ephesians 5, verse 18. This morning we will finish up our series. Well, kind of, but anyways, we'll make it done. On walking in purity, we will move then into the walking in harmony as we look at the home life of the Spirit-filled Christian. God's design for each and every one of us and where Christianity really starts in the home. I look forward to the studies to come concerning the marital relationship, concerning the relationship that we're to have with our children, concerning the relationship we're to have as we work in the mix of the world. And that will be there really verses 21 through chapter 6, verse 9, that we will be looking at walking in harmony. The text we looked at last time we were together 2 weeks ago, and I heard Pastor Mark was what I expected, a blessing for you guys. You guys were blessed with Pastor Mark. He's quite a unique brother, isn't he? There's no one, I always say, Mark, there's no one like you. You're the only Mark that will ever be. I know that's true of all of us, but he's just a unique, in a good way, just a refreshing blessing to stir our hearts to preach the gospel. We left off in verse 18, which is the bridge between what we've been looking at, walking in purity, and what we're going to look at as walking in harmony, and even bringing us into chapter 6, we will look at in verse 10, as we get there, we'll be talking about walking in victory as we walk as soldiers of the cross. So this is a very important passage, and so we take a little bit more time looking at it. We spent a whole week in verse 18. I could have spent two. We will try to spend the rest of our time here this morning in verses 19 and 20. I could spend a lot more time there, and probably should, but we won't. Verses 19 and 20 are a reference to the manifestation of a Spirit-filled life. This is what a Spirit-filled life looks like. A Spirit-filled life is going to look like this. Now, I'll confess that when I first read these verses earlier on in my faith, they seemed a little bit weird to me. Weird in the sense, well, let's read it. Let's start in verse 18, read through verse 21. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." When I read verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord, it was a little weird for me because it was a little confusing because I thought, what are we to do? What is it saying? The Spirit-filled Christian walks around singing to one another? You don't want me to sing to you this morning. I can promise you that. When I sing, my kids cover my mouth. And I'm not joking. They cover my mouth and their ears. You know, what is Paul really saying? What is this really communicating? What is the Word of God declaring here? But on further study, you will see that verse 19 doesn't start with the word singing, but it starts with the word speaking. I can speak to you, but you don't want me to sing to you. He says singing, and I want you to note this, verse 19, speaking to who? One another. My relationship with you, yours with me, ours with each other in the body of Christ is to be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We're to speak to one another in psalms. Now, when we think psalms, hymns, certainly when we think about hymns, we immediately think about singing. And I would say that no doubt it's included. And we will touch on that this morning. I want to talk about worship with you this morning. I think it's a very, very important thing. And the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. That if you would just the overflow of being filled with the Spirit is a heart of worship. But notice that it's speaking to one another, and when he gets to singing, the singing is to the Lord. Look at the end of verse 19. It says, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. It might be good for us today, just for clarity, even maybe for further reading later, to circle the word or underline the word singing, and then maybe draw a line to the word one another, or excuse me, the word speaking. I keep messing that up because I got singing in my mind. But speaking to one another, those connect, those go together. So I'm to speak to one another, and then go down to the word singing there, and it says singing to the Lord. And so I've got in my Bible that, I got it underlined, a line drawn, singing. My singing's to be to the Lord. My speaking is to be to fellow believers. And I think that brings a little more clarity on the passage. So what we want to talk about today is speaking to one another and singing to the Lord. Those two things, they're very closely connected here. And it's interesting, in verse 20, he goes on with kind of the same idea. In our speaking to one another, in our singing to the Lord, there ought to be a heart of thanksgiving. There ought to be that heart that is always grateful for all that God has done and given to us. And again, that's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. You know, it's interesting to me as we kind of look at this idea of speaking and singing, when we think about this, what we're really talking about is the word and worship. The word and worship. I'm to speak to you. When we'll look at it in a second, Psalms. That's probably a reference to the Old Testament Psalms. It's an idea of the word and worship. You know, and as I think about verse 18, being filled with the Spirit, I realize that when we talk about revival, and I want to tell you that I believe that our church needs revival. I believe my life, your life, needs revival. Revival comes from the presence of the Lord. Revival is nothing more than being filled with the Spirit. So when we say revival, we're saying be filled with the Spirit. I mean, fully, totally, controlled, consumed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. God wants to do revival, church. And the way He does that is He fills our lives with Him. And you know, if you do a study on revival in church history, there are two things that identify, and I think I mentioned this in a sermon before, but there are two things that identify revivals, that go together with revivals. One of those things, and in order, the first thing is a revival, a reviving of the Word of God. And in the person that's filled with the Spirit, in the person that's experiencing revival, because we can experience revival in a very personal level, means you could be in the midst of a revival right now in your walk with God. We also then, as each of us experience that revival, can experience a corporate revival, God reviving. The first thing that happens when someone begins to be revived by the Spirit of God, awakened, even as Paul says there in verse 14, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about revival. He's talking about revival is me being filled with the Spirit, walking in the will of God. Well, we know in verse 17, that's what he speaks of. To know and understand the will of God, to be in the will of God, to be filled with the Spirit. The Word of God is the first thing we find in any given revival, true revival in church history, where the Spirit of God is moving on the hearts of people, and the result of it is a hunger for the Word of God. They're hungry to read the Word. They're hungry. They're hungry to hear the Word of God preached. When revival happens, churches begin to get filled. The churches that are filled are churches where there is someone preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. And there's a craving for it, a desire for it. Our land needs revival. The churches of America need revival. And today we're finding people that are flocking to churches. You know, right now we are living in a time where there are bigger churches in number than ever before. I mean, churches that, I mean, if you spoke even, you know, to Jonathan Edwards, for instance, a revivalist, his church had 600 people in it. That was a mega church in his day. Today that's a small church. 600 people. We're talking about 6,000, 15,000 people that are going to one given church. That's considered a revival in someone's opinion. But here's the problem. It's a false revival. Because it is not one that is based on a craving and a hungering for the Word of God. Churches today are being grown by sidelining the Word of God. That tells me something about the state of the church. It's a scary thing to think about. When true revival happens throughout church history, the Word of God is beginning to be something that is honored, something that is lifted up, something that is desired. The second thing that happens is worship. Do you know that songs are written in times of revival? Worship is something that is on the forefront of the revival. A new work of God's Spirit in the hearts of His people through the Word of God is provoking them to declare God to be right, to worship God, to begin to magnify God with songs, with hymns, with spiritual songs in their heart. It's an anomaly. It's a beautiful thing. If you're a student of revivals, you might say, well, what about prayer? Well, prayer is very closely connected with worship. It's that crying out, that praying or that singing. There's that spiritual element. You know, it's interesting. If you study church history, you realize that pretty near after the death of the apostles, the church goes into some hundred years later, a couple hundred years later, the church goes into what we call the Dark Ages. You know, from like the 500s to the 1500s, there is the Dark Ages of the church. Do you know what happened in the Dark Ages of the church? There was not revival. The Word of God was taken from the people. And worship was limited to a performance and to something that people couldn't enter into. Most of the time, it was worship was sung in another language that the people didn't understand. So they just sat there and listened, not really knowing what was going on. Do you know when a revival of worship happened? When the Reformation happened, when the Word of God was revived. If you know anything about the Reformation, which we ought to, because we're Protestants, we're birthed from the Reformation, certainly here, we got Bibles in our laps. Thank God for the Reformation and the Reformers, because we wouldn't have the Word of God. The Word of God was brought to the common man, to the person. They began to read the Word of God, and you know what followed it? Thousands and thousands of songs that were written. Do you know who was leading the charge of writing the songs? Martin Luther wrote thousands of hymns himself. The reformers were the ones writing because the Word of God stirred their hearts to bring the worship of God back to the people of God, and new songs were being birthed. And that's exactly what we see here. And so in my life, in your life, we have to ask a very important question. Am I experiencing revival? Because you know what? If you're a Christian this morning, trust me, whether you realize it or not, you want revival. There is no sweeter place to be than a place of revival. And if I can talk this morning to us about personal revival, and we begin to pursue God for personal revival, I believe that we will see a corporate revival in our church in a beautiful way. And let me say this, there are outward evidences of revival in people's lives. Don't think it's just something between you and the Lord in your prayer closet. It might start there, but it will not stop there. That's what Paul's saying. Again, what is revival? Being filled with the Spirit. Am I filled with the Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Well, we can answer that question by looking at the passage this morning. This is what he says. He says, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, this is the result of it, is going to be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let's take the first two. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Now, if I'm careful in my study this morning, I am very aware that Colossians and Ephesians are very similar. In fact, at this point, they are almost identical. They might not have the identical sentences, but the topics and the wording that's used is identical from here through. It's awesome. Turn to Colossians. It's two books over in your New Testament. You go Ephesians, Philippians, you'll come to Colossians chapter 3. Now listen, and now Colossians is a little more abbreviated. I probably should be teaching Colossians because I have an ability to expand on the abbreviation, but I had to go for the bigger section. Verse 16, Colossians chapter 3. Listen to what it says, and let me ask you, does it sound familiar to Ephesians? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, now watch this, one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Then he says, verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Verse 20, children, obey your parents. 21, fathers, do not provoke your children. 22, servants, obey your masters. Chapter 4, verse 1, masters, give to your servants what is just and fair. Hold your finger there, go back to our Ephesians text. Look what it says. It says, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. Look what it says, verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Chapter 6, verse 4, you fathers, do not provoke your children. Verse 5, servants, obey your masters. Verse 9, and you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, where there is no partiality with them. It's the same thing. The only difference is that verse 18 in Ephesians says, be filled with Spirit. And in Colossians 3, verse 16, turn back there. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, be filled with the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the only real difference here in verse 16 of Colossians 3 compared to verse 19 of Ephesians 5 is he adds, speaking to one another, he says there, to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So right away I know our speech to one another, our speaking to one another is in the idea of a teaching and admonishing, and then it gets into the singing. So whether I'm singing or I'm speaking, it's to be admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and then when it gets to the singing to the Lord, it's to the Lord, and it's from the heart. It's powerful. I love it because there is so much here for us. This is what God wants me. This is so practical. This is where God wants me to live. Now, this isn't being super spiritual. This is just being spiritual. Do you know if you're a Christian, you're a spiritual being that's been born again? You've been made alive spiritually. You're alive now spiritually. You're alive to the Spirit of God. You're alive to God. And our lives are to take on a spiritual element. It's not a false spirituality. It's not a, what we might say, super spiritual. It's not a, praise the Lord, brother. It's not a hypocrisy. It's a result of being filled with the Spirit of God in our lives. That result will be that I'm going to teach you. I'm going to admonish you. You're going to teach me and admonish me through psalms and hymns. Now, I said a psalm is a reference to the Old Testament. I believe that he's referring to what makes up the psalms. Not necessarily the psalms themselves and that alone. It includes the psalms, but psalms. Psalms are praises to God. Psalms are things of worship. But a psalm, if we were to kind of dissect this, which sometimes you really can't, the different psalms, hymns, spiritual, they could be synonymous terms. But I think they're certainly in one category, but they have a little bit of difference. Most scholars would say that a psalm, the body of a psalm, is in reference to magnifying and glorifying God. It's an exaltation of God. It's an exaltation of who He is. If you read the Psalms, it's often talking about the character, the name of God, the faithfulness of God, that's His character, the love of God, the compassion of God. The Psalms, do we not go to the Psalms for comfort? Do we not go to the Psalms to remember who our God is? It's a person speaking to the Lord. And so we are to be those that speak to one another, and in our speech to one another, we're to be magnifying and glorifying God. We're to be focused on the character of God. We're to be focused on who He is. Now, when we get into worship, because these two are so closely connected, that we talk about the worship that we're to have ought to be worship that is doing the same thing. That our worship is the singing of psalms or things like that. That the words, the lyrics to our worship ought to be lyrics that speak of God's attributes, who He is. It's the focus on Him, and it's a beautiful thing. And you know what? When we're speaking about God, when we're in worship, declaring and praising God, it's a beautiful thing. As you look at the word hymns, again, when I say hymn, you might think of a book, a hymnal. Maybe some of you think about a choir. Or you think about stanzas in a hymn, and you start thinking about your favorite hymn. But a hymn is more of the word for praising God. You know, we use the word praise the Lord. I say it a lot. Praise the Lord, brother. That's awesome. It just comes out. Praise the Lord. It's God is so good, is what we're saying. Thank be to Him. Praise the Lord. And that's what a hymn more is. It's praise to God. It's thanking God. Where a psalm is more declaring and magnifying Him. And in my speech and in our worship, we ought to have both those elements. Now, I love what Malachi says. In Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Bible, or the Old Testament, I should say, in verse 16, you can remember it because it's another 3:16. John 3:16, just think of the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:16. Listen to what it says. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. That's what Paul tells us to do. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns. And the Lord listened and heard them. Whoa! Now I know God's sovereign. I know He hears and knows everything. But listen, God is going out of His way to say, and the Lord listened. Oh, they're speaking to one another. It says those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened to them and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who feared the Lord and those who meditated on His name. That's important. Meditated on His name. That's the character. That's the attributes of God. That's that idea of Psalms. They spoke to one another, and God listened in, and He wrote a book. Or He had a book written before Him. Think about that. What is written in the book? Does God have a lot to write today as we gather together as saints? As we speak to one another, what are we speaking to one another about? Are we speaking of Him? We're speaking about His glory. We're stirring each other up. We're teaching each other through psalms and hymns. We're admonishing one another today through the greatness of God. The grandeur of God, the power of God, the faithfulness of God, the name of God. Does the name of God stir your heart? Is your heart stirred today? Because Yahweh, He's our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What does that mean to you? What does that communicate to you? You know, and it's a beautiful thing. Do you know hymns, fragments of New Testament, or hymns that is in the New Testament church, are in our New Testaments? Do you know there's one that's found in Ephesians chapter 5? Turn there with me again if you've turned from there. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 14. This is a New Testament hymn. It says this, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." That's a hymn. That's probably a hymn they sang. But I want you to notice something about their hymn. Their hymn had Him in it. Their hymn was all about Him. Their hymn was doctrinally sound. In fact, hymns in the New Testament and creeds are the same thing. It's basically a church creed. It's a saying. We say, "Awake, you asleep." This is an exhortational hymn. There's other hymns. I love the one found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is what it says. There's another 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16, this is a hymn they would sing in the church. It's a hymn they'd repeat. It's like a creed of the church, like a doctrinal statement. This is what it says, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And listen to this. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. I mean, that's just like all of it from the beginning to the end. You know, great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, received up in glory, believed on in the world. It's a saying they had. It's like it's just a biblical saying that they just would repeat to each other. Powerful. Which brings me to the point of worship and song choice and songwriters. The things that they sang in the early church. What Paul is telling us to speak to one another and sing to one another have foundation in God Himself. The problem today we have with a lot of Christian songs is it's a lot about not Him. We should call them I's. Let's get the I book out. Because it's about me. You know, the me book, if you would. It's all about me. Oh, me. You know, and we sing, and sometimes I'm singing a song thinking, I just said the word I more times than I even thought about Him. I mean, like, what am I singing? You know, and a lot of times it's I will do, I this, I that, I, you know. And I'm not saying if the word I is in a song, throw it out. I mean, let's not be legalistic. And please don't, some of you get all zealous this morning and go, you know, because in the Psalms, we do read David saying, I, Lord, hear me when I cry. We call them supplicational psalms. We have songs that are supplicational, meaning they're a prayer. They're a cry. Lord, I'm in the pit. Certainly God cares about us, but we need to be careful that we also have declarational songs. That is the declaring of God. And we ought to have much more declarational than supplicational. We ought to be declaring who He is. I'm in the pit. You're on the throne. Let's go there. And you're holy and you're sovereign and you're right and you're righteous and you're able to pull me up. And you alone are worthy and you alone can save. And we begin to worship as we declare who He is. And let me just ask you, worshipers this morning, what pulls you out of the pit more? Thinking about how low you are or how high He is? Amen? I mean, He's able to bring us up, to bring our face into His countenance, His presence. When the Spirit of God is filling a heart, they speak to one another of the Lord. Their fellowship is based upon Him. When the Spirit of God is filling a heart, they speak to God in words that will bring them up. The Word of God, as Paul says to the Colossians, richly dwells in them. And they're able to speak in psalms and hymns. And then the third thing here in verse 19 is spiritual songs. Now, I do want to just say, spiritual songs are, it's obvious what a spiritual song is. Maybe it's not so obvious, but it will be when I say this. There's spiritual songs and there's carnal songs. It's spiritual or it's not. What's the opposite of not being spiritual? Flesh, the word carnal is actually the word we use for meat. When I go over to Taco San Pedro, I say I like carne asada. It's carny, it's meat, it's flesh. But in the spiritual sense, or should I say, in the unseen sense, carnal is fleshly. Can I just say, and without giving a legalistic rule or law to you, can I challenge us this morning, those of us that are listening to secular music, can I just ask you, why? 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 Why would I find a need in my life to listen to music that is played by unbelievers, that is, the lyrics have nothing to do with my God. Maybe they're touching, maybe they're romantic, love songs, class, whatever it might be. And I'm speaking, of lyrics mainly here, not melodies, but lyrics that speak of something that is not glorifying the Lord. I mean, what place does that have in my life as a Spirit-filled Christian? For me, it's got no place. It's a waste of time. Listen, music is a gift of God, was created by God to glorify God. From the very beginning, it is believed that Satan was the main worship leader in heaven. Listen, worship isn't something new. Worship is something that we find in eternity past, if I could say it that way, and we'll see in eternity future. Worship is going on right now in heaven. Worship is something that is created by God, for God. When I say worship, I'm speaking about music. Musical instruments are a gift of God. He owns them. They're His. The world steals them, perverts them, because they have a door into the soul of man through music. It's something God created in the human heart that music can grab us. I mean, there's King Saul, and he's tormented, it says in 1 Samuel, what is it? 1 Samuel 16? He's tormented by a spirit, an evil spirit. His guys, King Saul's guys, say, hey, you need to get someone in here to play on the harp, to play some music on the stringed instrument, to sing. So they say, well, we know this kid, David, bring him in. Little did he know, David was just anointed as the king and was going to overtake him because he was a man of the flesh. But in his fleshly state, he found comfort, encouragement from this evil spirit through music. Music has the ability to lift up. And that's why some secular music, people are lifted up. Christians are lifted up. I know when I was, before I was a Christian, the music I listened to was clearly secular and didn't really lift up, but it had an effect. And it has a very, very evil effect. And I'm speaking of, rock and roll and just, really horrible lyrics, and Led Zeppelin and, AC/DC and just horrible stuff. But it's very dark. And if you really study it, it's got power and it's grabbing kids. And now there's all kinds of new fashions and music out there. And they're just drowning the souls and blinding the eyes. And the darkness is taking hold of them. Now, why is it that Satan gets it about music and knows that if I'm going to get that generation, I got to get some music and I'm going to grab them through music. I'm going to intoxicate them by music. I'm going to intoxicate them by these lyrics. I'm going to bring them in to the point where now they're going to destroy themselves. They're going to kill themselves because of music that's going to be indoctrinating them in my doctrine. Music has a message. Even the tunes and the melodies, they have messages. And they're hard and rough and edgy. It's a message. It just makes these guys want to start fighting and it's powerful. Boy, church, let us not miss out on the beauty of music in the kingdom of God for the worship and the glory of God, to magnify and to worship Him, to sing a new song in our hearts, to have a spiritual side of worship. Oh, it's such a powerful thing. And I pray every day for our worship ministry. And I pray every day for our worship leader. And I pray, God, you raise them up and you anoint them, because I know that their ministry is as important as mine in teaching the Word of God. Those two together bring about revival. And they bring about life into a Christian's life. And I want to encourage us to be worshipers. Not because, I got to worship. Actually, because I want to worship. And to maybe force yourself at times to get in a place of private worship. It is a known fact that I don't know what a melody is. I can't sing for the life of me. I love what he says here. Singing a melody, a spiritual song, singing a melody in your heart to the Lord. I love this. I'm thankful it's a melody in my heart, and you are too. Trust me. Church, it says here, a spiritual song. I believe it's not just spiritual in the sense of it's godly, it's spiritual. It's of the Holy Spirit. But at times, it's Spirit-led song. And can I just encourage us to be open? Hey, you musicians and worship leaders, can I encourage you to be open to the leading and guiding of the Spirit? You know, I find some of the sweetest songs are written when through this way. I would say that, I use the word knowing some might misunderstand what it means, but it's the biblical word to use, and it's right, and that is the prophetic. Spiritual songs refer to, I believe, a part of it refers to that spontaneous, prophetic word God gives through song. It's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And boy, I pray for more and more of it. You know, many times a new song written, I said, are written usually in the time of revival. A new song written is a melody God places in the heart of a worship leader. I've seen God do it while they're leading worship. You know, it's usually more in an afterglow setting, just kind of waiting on the Lord. And the Lord just gives a melody to a worship leader. It's just the music. The music's in his head. And it's just dropped in his heart. And then a phrase or two comes, and they just kind of step out, if you would, in faith, and they start singing, and the Lord gives a new song. And there's songs that we have on CDs that were written like that. Or maybe, you know, that's your gifting, and you're driving down the street tomorrow morning, and there's a word that was given this morning in the teaching of the word, and God just gives you a melody. And then he starts adding his word, and a song is being birthed. That is a sign of revival in the church. Oh, and I just pray for new songs. I do. And songs that are relevant to where we are as a body. They're from the Lord. It's like God saying, hey, here's something for you guys at Calvary Chapel Saving Grace. Every time God gives a new song, it doesn't mean it's going to be a top hit. I mean, that's the world. You know, we're looking, oh, this is going to be, you know, who cares about that? I mean, we've lost perspective of worship when we're thinking like that. And worship leaders need to really stay focused. Because, you know, it's like we get caught up. The world's in the church and music. But we got to get back to worship. And I thank God for our worship ministry. And I thank God for what they do and the prayer they put into it. And I know that's their hearts. Their hearts are just to lead worship and to worship God and to see people just getting it and be able to enter in. And it's a beautiful thing. And it must stay that way. It must increase. And I just pray that those spiritual songs start coming more and more and more. Notice it's a melody in the individual heart to the Lord. That's a personal thing. And it's not just for worship leaders. You see, God can put a melody into my heart. And I can sing to him. That could be a new song. I could make up the song. If I sang it to you guys, you'd laugh at me, but God doesn't. And that's a beautiful thing about my relationship with him. Is I can sing. I have to share my heart in song. You know, when Paul talks about the spirituals, and that's what he calls them, and we add in our translations, gifts. But you'll notice if you have a Bible that italicizes the words that are added for clarity, in 1 Corinthians 14, when he says spiritual gifts, the word gifts is in italicized because the word really is just spirituals. That's what he's talking about. And it's the manifestation of the Spirit. And one of them is tongues. And when he talks about tongues, he says that we will pray in the Spirit and we will pray with our understanding. We will sing in the Spirit and we will sing with our understanding. And I notice about prayer there, that there's prayer and singing, and I'm not really addressing the issue of tongues this morning, but I just use it as an example that whether you're praying in tongues or you're praying in your known language, you're praying and you're singing. Part of fellowship with God is praying and certainly singing melodies in our hearts to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Are you missing that in your walk with God? Pray for it. Pray that God would put a skip in your step, if you would. A melody in your heart. And there's nothing like the Lord just placing a melody in your heart. Now, if you're like me, it's one you don't share with anyone else. But it's something that brings strength to my life. It's directly connected to verse 20. Listen to what it says. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he says. He says, this is what we're to do. We're to give thanks always for all things. Listen, the worshiper is going to be a person who is grateful for the things that he has and for his God. I can promise you this. If my focus is him and his majesty and his name, his attributes, and my supplications are crying out to him, no matter what's going on in my life, there are things to be thankful for. He says, be thankful in all things. Paul says that God works all things together for his good for those who love him and are called according. Even in the most difficult, trying times of our lives, we can be thankful. You know, I am around death. I am around, you know, tragedy in people's lives, seemingly on a constant basis. There's always someone that's going through something in the church. And praying with them and trying to encourage them. Do you know, in the midst of all that, there is always, always reason to give thanks. You know, I remember when I was praying with Harry, who was dying of cancer. And just to see God's grace upon his life in his last days. Now, I knew Harry for a while. Been a part of our church for a long time. I'll tell you what, his latter days were definitely more spiritual, and he was more filled with the Spirit and had more joy than his earlier days. I was amazed. It was the grace of God. And there was reason to give thanks. And he found reason to give thanks. We're all worried and he's getting ready for heaven. You know, our perspective is so steered by life, by time. If you're a Christian, you always have reason to give thanks. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to find those reasons. See, the reasons are there. Sometimes we just can't find them because the pain, because the tragedy is so overwhelming. You know, it's such a stark difference between the person who's saved and not saved. The person that's not saved, he can't find a reason. There we are in the emergency room, intensive care. I'm there often. And I'm there and I'm with someone. Well, I see another family over there. Right away I realize they have no hope. They have no hope. Keep the faith. What faith? They don't have any faith. Faith in what? Faith in health? Faith in we're going to make it through? And then there's a family who knows Jesus. The difference is amazing. Church, we can give thanks. Listen, you're saved. If there's nothing you can find to give thanks to God today for, thank Him that you're saved. And if you drop right now, you're in His presence. I mean, you can not only give Him thanks, you can worship Him. You can praise His name for it. With every breath, let us praise the Lord. And trust me, when you're a thankful person, you're a happy person. When you are an unthankful person, you're a miserable person. And you're miserable to be around. You're miserable yourself. I mean, it's a miserable life. You know, grumpy, always upset, always negative, always looking for, you know, that person that cut me off. They're my boss at work and these people and just, you're unhappy. I mean, and we all know it. And you don't want to be around yourself. We don't want to be around you. It's like, open your eyes and see you're saved. You're born again. Your boss at work who's a jerk needs Jesus. And the only way he's going to get him is through you. And if you treat him like everyone else does, then he's never going to get Jesus. Listen, there is a reason to give thanks that God let me be in this heathen's life to be a witness. You go, I don't really enjoy it. Well, you might if you had a different perspective. You don't enjoy it because you're like, it's so hard for me. I got to submit to him. And he's not. Or you could say, Lord, you placed me in this situation to be a light in the midst of darkness. And your perspective would totally change. You know, you can get cut off on the freeway. We all know how that is. What's all happened? You can get cut off. You go, and you know, in your heart, there's not a melody. There's a word that you don't even want to say out of your mouth because you're a Christian. But it's still down there, isn't it? And it's there. The difference between someone that's filled the Spirit is they get cut off on the freeway. They're not upset about it. They're not worried about it. It doesn't make them respond in the flesh. You just look at that. You know what happens? I look at that person and I just think, when I'm in the Spirit. Not always there, but when I'm in, you know, and I know right away, just think, where you gotta go? We all gotta go somewhere. We're on a California freeway. What are you gonna do? As I pass them, you know, 3 miles down the freeway, hey dude, got real far. I mean, like, God, thank you, I'm not him. I just have something to give. Thank you, Lord, that I'm born again. Thank you, it's all gonna work out. He's yelling at someone. It's like, that's a miserable person. That was me. And then I got saved. Church, we have so much to give thanks to the Lord for. And when we do, we find the reason that we were born for, and that is to glorify God. That's what we're born for. And when you find that, you find life. You find life. And life is given by the Spirit of God. A lot of us, we just need to take a deep breath, refocus our eyes upon Jesus, relax a little bit, and enjoy the Lord. The way I want to close it up today, and the way I really just would sum up our life. Church, we just need to walk with the Lord. That's what Paul's been saying, right? Walk in victory, walk in purity, walk this, walk circumspectly, walk worthy. You know, all this walk, don't walk like, we just need to walk with the Lord. Being focused on Him, being filled with Him. And what a joy it is to be a person who can just have a melody in their heart. Could find someone today and encourage them. Talk about the God of creation. People say, you know, Pastor Trent, you have so much to say when you preach. I'm talking about Him. I mean, if this message this morning was about me, it'd be over like this. Trent's a joke, let's pray. I mean, what? That's the beauty of our God. And, you know, I could talk more about Him. I won't. But that's the glory of what it is to be a Christian. It's so not about me, myself, my stuff, my things, my problems, my bank account, my lack of, it's about Him. And when I get that, I find life. Have you found that life today? Have you found it and lost it? Well, it's not too far out of your reach. And the prayer that I pray every morning when I get up, and I want to invite you to pray with me, as we all wake up in the morning, all in different places, and we as a church say, Lord, will today you fill me with your Spirit? And add this, Lord, will you put a new song in my heart today? Will you give me a new song? And just see what He might do. Help me find the reason to be thankful in all my problems today. And simply help me to focus upon you. And just let the Spirit of God fill you and show you something new, something you haven't seen about Him, about life, about the people you're with. And find a way to just let God be God. Let you die off and let Him rise in your life and reign and His light shine. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And Lord, what words are fitting for you? We just need more of you. We need to see you more. Draw near to you. Come closer. And so, God, I ask that this morning, God, for those of us here that just don't have thankful hearts, that don't have a song, a melody, being robbed by the world, being controlled by our flesh, would you now, Lord, just help us? That's our prayer. We confess, Lord, our sins, and we want to turn from them. We just lay them aside, as your word here says in Ephesians. Just cast it off, lay it aside. And just ask right now that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. That our hearts might bubble over, Lord, with life. with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, melodies in our hearts, giving thanks to you for all things. Thank you that you're our Father, as it says in that passage. We didn't have time to look at it, but you're our Father who loves us, who will never leave us nor forsake us. And for that, we thank you. For those this morning that, Lord, are in a time of great trial, sorrow in their hearts, God, we ask for an extra measure of your grace. We ask that you'd touch them, you'd fill them afresh, you'd give them hope, you'd help them to see the good and the bad. For those of us, Lord, that things are just business as normal, would you awaken us, oh God? Would you help us to see? Revive us, oh God. For those of us, Lord, that might be on the cusp of experiencing revival, would you plunge us into it? Would you make your word alive again and worship a sweet, sweet savor to our senses? Give us passion again, Lord. Revive our hearts. Bring us near again to you. Lord, just corporately as a church, bring back the wandering. Bring back the brokenhearted. Bring back the confused. Father, bring us together, locked arms, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, singing and making melody in our hearts to you, singing a spiritual song, the word for the moment, in due season. Revive us, O God, and cause, Lord, that which is written about what we say to be pleasing to you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Why don't we stand and let's give him praise.